What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 549th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
Hello, hello. I am here. Happy Lunar New Year. I am taking every single chance I can get to celebrate the beginning of a new year.
And Greg and I decided to celebrate Lunar New Year by going to Mall of America.
Yeah, we sure did.
Hey, they had an event. It was kind of cool.
They had an event. There was a guy who was playing saxophone that sounded a lot more like Kenny G than I was expecting for Lunar New Year, but we're there.
That works.
I also, a quick Pokemon Unite minute. Regieleki is no longer the necessary. You have to go bottom. Again, we're back to Dreadnought days. New rules, rotate to bottom. The changes are bad, but that's the... So everybody stop going to Aleki first.
But rotate to bottom. He's a little electric hoppy guy.
He is, but it's no longer as important because they messed up the game again.
Oh, okay. Or are they trying to get those original people back that are just so used to the bottom?
They're trying to get those original people back. I'm probably... Who knows what's happening? But all right. I'm just letting you know, rotate to the bottom again.
Okay, so we have Pokemon news to go through. We have a little bit of Pokemon Go. I didn't think we would have to talk about the X and Y stuff, but I guess we have to talk about the X and Y stuff because it keeps coming back up. Everyone just reads headlines, so we gotta...
Well, that's been going on forever. That doesn't mean that we have to do any corrections. We can just say, read the headlines and look no further.
That's not exclusive to Pokemon news. People just like to read headlines. Yeah. Understandable. Crown Zenith just came out, and then Game Freak's, one of Game Freak's non-Pokemon games, is now on iOS. So that's kind of cool. I guess we could mention that. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on that. I just thought it was worth mentioning. Let's start with Crown Zenith, because that just came out. The last Sword and Shield expansion, Crown Zenith. This is off Pokemon.com. Crown Zenith features... Oh, wait, I guess... Crown Zenith introduces what are called the Galarian Gallery subset of 70 cards spotlighting Pokemon, Pokemon V, Pokemon VMAX, Pokemon V-Star, and supporter cards. These cards feature special illustrations that allow fans to discover unique Pokemons or characters. I don't know why I said Pokemons. That's not a word. Included in the Galarian Gallery are Mewtwo V-Star, Darkrai V-Star, and Hisuian Zorark V-Star. Crown Zenith's Pokemon Center Elite Trainer Box is exclusive at PokemonCenter.com. It includes 12 Crown Zenith Booster Packs, one etched foil promo featuring Lucario V-Star, one metal coin featuring... Lucario is my favorite Galarian Pokemon, by the way.
It's on the box.
Yeah, I just like how they're like 70 Galarian Gallery cards. Who do we put on the box? The Gen 4 Pokemon. So if you get the Elite Trainer Box at like a Target or a Walmart, that includes 10 booster packs. You get your sketched Lucario V-Star. I don't think you get the metal coin. The metal coin is Pokemon Center. And then there are two boxes, which each have different promo cards. Four booster packs in those boxes. There's a Regieleki V, which apparently we're not going to anymore in Pokemon Unite. And then there's there's the Regidrago V, which is not in Pokemon Unite. No Drago in Unite. So those two boxes are available now, and they come with promos, oversized cards, four booster packs. And then in the future, so in February, the Mini 10s will be available, and then the Crown Zenith Special Pikachu VMAX will be available. Full disclosure, the Pokemon company sent me some Crown Zenith. Although I did order my own Crown Zenith ETB from Pokemon Center with my own money, Mr. Pokemon. There will be Crown Zenith tins featuring Galarian Articuno, Zapdos, Moltres. That'll be available in March. Then the Crown Zenith pin collection with Rillaboom, Cinderace, Inteleon. That will be available in April. And then, hey, also in April, if you want a premium playmat collection featuring Morpeko, that will be available. And then finally, Shiny Zacian or Shiny Zamazenta figure collection, which will include, each of those will include 11 booster packs. That will be available in May. not 100% sure why they're drip feeding this set, because it's not like waiting till May gets you like different cards, just different.
Just constant new releases. Yeah. Just gotta have a new thing every week.
That's not overwhelming.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards in the set too. I will say this, after opening an ETB in two of these like what do they call it? Collection boxes or whatever. The poll rate seems good. It does seem like a fun set to open. The Galarian Gallery cards are very pretty. They're very fun to collect.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
According to this website, there's a Dunsparce card.
There was probably a Dunsparce, yes. I have the book right here. This is great for our audio listeners. Is it a full art Dunsparce?
Yeah. On the website under Galarian Gallery, there's a full art Dunsparce of a bunch of cuties sleeping.
A bunch of Dunsparce cuties sleeping. Okay. I'm looking, Greg. I'm looking. I believe that's probably true. There's a lot of as the press release says, there are 70
cards.
There's a lot. I'm not seeing a Dunsparce.
All right, well, click on the link. It's great.
Oh, I see the Dunsparce. They're hiding under the pillows.
Yeah. So you haven't pulled that yet.
No. I see. Yes, he's here. Yes, I pulled the Keldeo, which apparently is one of the top 10 sought after cards.
The Mew card in this set is really cute.
Yeah, I wanted to pull the Mew because there's the Cramorant in it.
There's also a cutie Galarian Ponyta in it, which makes it a Galarian card. Are these... So the Galarian Gallery does not feature many Galarian Pokemon. Is this a thing? Is this just... Why did they name it?
Zemysir is my favorite Galarian Pokemon. What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't understand the title of the gallery. The Simisear is very funny, though.
It's a good card.
Eating his little
They've
pear.
They've got to, at the very least, pretend that this is a good send-out for Galar.
True.
I mean, these cards are great, but yes, there's not a lot of Galar Pokemon. And for some reason, there's, like, multiple Simisear cards. No Panpour. No, like, the Pours and the Sages. They didn't make the cut. Only the Fire one did.
I also like the Gardenia card. It's very cute.
Yes, I think that is also under the Galarian Gallery.
The card art just keeps getting better and better.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Many of these cards are just pretty.
Yeah, is this something Magic is doing? Did like the Pokemon Company look at Magic and was like, oh, their cards are pretty, we gotta step it up?
So, oh boy, do we want to get into the craziness that are Magic? So Magic does do special art cards that can sometimes appear in their regular set, but they also have this thing, hold on, called, and I'll hold this up, Secret Lairs.
Shiny.
Secret Lairs are specialty cards. For example, sometimes they will do specialty collaborations like Magic and Street Fighter, and they will put out special art cards, or they'll work with a specific artist and be like, this is this artist's four special art cards. It's $40.
Oh, didn't they have like some anniversary thing that was like $1,000?
I'm not even gonna touch. I'm not even gonna touch. Don't even. I can't talk about that right now. We can't go down the rabbit hole of how bad the 30th anniversary fake card scam is, because that's a whole podcast.
Yeah. So I would say, like I've always said, new set comes out. Is it worth buying? Is it not? I think the last set was Silver Tempest. I don't think for a lot of casual people, Silver Tempest was worth picking up. Like, obviously, like, if you're just itching to open some Pokemon cards, sure, get an ETB, open the 10-8 booster packs, have a good time. If you are casual, though, and you're itching to open some packs and or burn a hole in your wallet, I can think Crown Zenith is fun. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. This is one of those in-between sets. You can't just walk into Target and buy booster packs. You can only buy the box collections or the ETBs or the tins, which are not available right now. Unlike, a Silver Tempest or a Chilling Rain or a Emerging Powers, you just can't buy the booster packs off the shelf. You gotta buy a box, of assorted booster packs.
kind of frustrating.
Yeah. That's the whole mini collection. I don't know what they call these. Special collections, middle collections, I can't remember. But the Sword and the Scarlet and Violet stuff, I believe, comes out in March. That's when things will change to the silver borders, and apparently rainbow cards will be in the thing of the past. Next bit of news here. What happened to my news? Oh, let's get the Pokemon Go stuff out of the way. We didn't talk about this last week. We probably should have. Niantic just sent out a casual tweet here. Just a good old casual at Niantic help. Trainers, we are correcting the mega energy needed to evolve Mega Salamence from 200 to 300 after the Twinkling Fantasy event. We apologize for the inconvenience.
It's better than other bugs that have happened. And the fact that they didn't correct it immediately, and like, they could have overcharged people and had people in negative mega energy. They could have done that. They didn't.
Yeah, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world, because like, what do you get from, I think normally I get like 225 or 200 from doing a mega raid. Granted, I know I have a privilege and an advantage of playing at Mall of America, where people are always jumping in.
You can do them faster.
And then you can invite people, and those people are inviting people. So even on a non-community day, even on like a random Tuesday, you usually get like 12, 14 people in a raid, because Mall of America is just very busy all the time, consistently. So I don't know if people know this. Just sum it up real quick. The faster you do a mega raid, the more energy you get. So that's kind of like the perk of, you know, having more people. So ultimately, I think even if you do it pretty slow, you still need to do two. Like, you're not getting 300 from one. You're getting like 225
for the full cost.
250.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you did it slow, you're probably getting like 180, which is still not 200. So you have to do it again. I did ask Niantic about this. I was like, why are we changing it from 200 to 300? And they said game balance. Okay, I don't know what exactly they're balancing.
I think that's the base cost for the rarer Pokemon, for the Pokemon whose egg walking distances would be higher and things like that. And Salamence is one of those. I don't know for sure, because I haven't started up one of those mega Pokemon in a while. I'm almost done maxing all of those out. But I think that for Latias, Latios.
I was going to say,
and
the Latias, Latios.
Yeah. Those may have started as 300 for initial mega-ing.
Yes. I'm looking at Latias right now. It's 300. And then let's just look at like a Manectric. Manectric is 100, actually.
Yeah. There we go. So it does vary based on the strength of the Pokemon, probably, or the rarity.
The last one was like Glalie. Oh, I already mega'd that one. Oh, I only have one. Oh, wait, here's another Glalie. Glalie is 200. So yeah, I guess. Again, I don't think it's the biggest. I would assume Metagross is going to be 300, because.
Almost definitely.
Yeah, because it's Metagross. It's. I just don't. The balance thing just throws me off, because I'm not. Like, is it bad that people are... Here's the thing. Maybe balance aside, because I don't think that question can ever be answered. I do think that Niantic puts a lot of weight in Mega and, like, Mega Energy. And I think Niantic cares about Megas and Mega Energy a lot. But, like, because they give it as a reward. Like, oh, you're getting, like, 50 Mega Energy. But it's really not that hard to get.
It is if you're trying to get Mega Energy for a Pokemon that is not in season.
Yes. Yeah, I will agree. That's true.
I had a Hundo... names. Skull Dog.
Skull
Hound.
Houndoom!
Yes. I had a Hundo Houndoom for a year that I was waiting to Mega Evolve, because I just didn't go out of my way to do the Mega... raids at the beginning when it was first introduced, and I was not able to get the mega energy for it any other way until it was brought back into raids. So when there are research tasks you can do, that's super helpful, but it doesn't always apply to all the Pokemon.
The weirdest thing about video game
I love the start of the sentence.
The sort of weird thing about video game culture is the bizarre value people put on grind. It boggles my mind how many people equate grind to value, including companies. And companies sell this like, oh, you have to grind more Salamence candy so it's more valuable. It's like, is it? Like, you are creating the false scarcity and you're making us grind, and generally grinding isn't fun, but you still have convinced an entire group of people that having to spend 58 hours finding one shiny in a dark corner is way more valuable than a Faramosa that showed up shiny first in your first wormhole. Like, it's so bizarre to me. I hate this grind equals value culture that they keep cultivating.
That's not exclusive to Pokemon. That's a lot of games.
No, it's a ton of games.
Yeah.
It is a ton of games. It's just
what else equates
weird.
To value then?
That's just it. It doesn't have any. It is
70
data.
Premium raid passes in my inventory.
It is just data.
That's value.
It's either time or money.
They can take away or revoke at any time or add at any time. Like, they themselves also will devalue their own thing by saying, hey, we're giving out 15 incenses. Cool.
Niantic, I'm sure, knows exactly how many megas are happening, which megas are doing what, you know, all that stuff, right? Like, they have all that data.
Oh, yeah.
The rehaul
was a good system. I do want to say that. Megas are actually useful now.
Oh, yeah. No. I do like megas. Yeah, if I go out and even if I'm doing, like, a one-hour grind, I'm turning a mega on because at this point, it's, like, free, though. So, like, I'm thinking, like, I consider myself a relatively hardcore Pokemon Go player. I'm level 48, right? I still think there's this weird perception where a lot of hardcore players think that like the majority of people are over level 40. That's far from true. Like that,
nope.
Yeah, there's like the majority of players are still under level 40. That's Niantic is never going to come out and say that, but that is, I don't know how we prove it, but like that.
I mean, we can draw a few things. Right, like we can look at our friends list and see, like, I have 258 friends in my friend list, right? Like, it is not a controlled sample, but it is a sample. And I would say that at least 60% of them are under 40 still.
Yeah.
I think it's swapped for me.
Like, and it depends on, like, your friend group. I think the thing that, like, Steve and I can run into is that we just get random people who are like, I found your friend code and I'm sending it to you, and whether or not they follow the rules and reach out to me and say who you are or not depends on whether they get added. But like if your friend group is, and this is sort of the hard thing about any sort of anecdotal anything, is if your friend group really, really, really likes Pokemon Go, they're all going to be over 40. And so
therefore
you're going to look at your experience and say, well, my experience is universal. It's not, but you have a view into how your group of friends plays that really, really like this game. It's like, I only play Final Fantasy with high-end raiders. So I'm like, well, everybody's at 90 now. And then I'm constantly fighting people who are like, I just started the game, right? Like, just because I'm seeing it doesn't mean that that's reality. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we can look at what's randomly happening as people post things on Twitter. I have a very random friend group in my friends. And I'd be like, okay, well, just because I accept a lot of different things from a lot of different people, I can draw some parallels. But it's definitely not the whole picture.
Yeah, I just there are the people that play on every community day. There are the people that, like, obviously, a lot of non-level 40 players go to GoFest or these other things, right? Because there are events and whatever. Like, I don't want to say, like even at the Ultra Beast event I went to, I saw way more people under level 40 than above level 40 because it was a free event in Los Angeles. And obviously, these raids filled up instantly for the Ultra Beast. But I wasn't shocked. I was just like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, 38, 34, 24, 25, like, that's fine. Like, obviously still doable. Like, I'm pretty hardcore. I'm not like a Brandon Tan or somebody who has like 800, you know, 4-star perfect buddies because they're doing like the buddy system on like 6 different buddies a day, every day, and they're spending money on puffins and stuff like that, right? Like, those are outliers, complete outliers. But like, when a new mega comes around, like, how many Pokemon are people megaing? Like, I do, like, maybe 3 or 4, like, Glalies, right? I have enough Mega Candy. I mega maybe 1, maybe 2 Glalies. Like, I'm going to mega 1 that is, like, very good IVs, and then I'm going to mega a shiny, and now I have 2 dex entries. I don't know why you would ever do a 3rd or a 4th, like, and then once you mega it, it's technically free after that.
I have a edge case where you would want more than one. That if there is an event featuring a specific type of Pokemon that there is only maybe 1 or 2 Megas for, that you would want more than one of those Megas so that you could have a Mega on constantly while you're playing this event throughout the week without spending more Mega Candy or energy. Oh, without spending more Mega Energy after
like,
that.
Like Altaria for Twinkling Fantasy.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so
you would have wanted
to like,
a ton of Altaria.
Right, you could do...
Ideally.
Is that worth more? Because each Altaria would be 200, whereas like if you mega Altaria the next day, you could mega it again technically, but it would be like what, like 56 or some weird like smaller number?
Once you max out a mega Pokemon, it is I think around 20, 30 to mega it the next day after it's been megaed. So if there is a week long event, no. But it's easier.
To be fair, this isn't complaining about the mega mechanic. It's just like this weird value that Niantic sees in mega energy.
Yeah.
Like, I think getting energy is fine. I think using it is fine. I think the mega system is great. It's just like, anyways, make it more valuable, I guess, to Niantic. Before we run to break here, there is a new event coming. Featuring shiny Tapu Koko and shiny Helioptile, which is called the Crackling Voltage event. Ekans, Magnemite, Grimer, Electrike, Stunky, who cannot be shiny, Blitzel, Parasseed, Helioptile, and Grubbin, also cannot be shiny, will be featured more in the wild. If you're lucky, you'll find Beldum or Dedenne in the wild. 1-star raids will feature Alolan Grimer, Shinx, Bronzor, Klink, and Helioptile. 3-star raids is my favorite electric Pokemon, Venomoth.
Yeah, it's so good.
Galarian Weezing, Jolteon.
Also great electric type.
And Mawile. And then 5-star raids are going to be Tapu Koko and Registeel. Registeel, also my favorite electric Pokemon. And then the Mega Raids will be Mega Aerodactyl and Mega Gengar. Okay, the Mega Aerodactyl also doesn't make sense because he's not ground. Is he ground? No, I don't think he's ground. I think he's rock flying, isn't he?
I think so.
Does it lose when it megas? Does it change? Because they did that and it got confusing.
I can't stand Mega Aerodactyl's goatee. It really throws me off. I hate it. It's bad.
What do you mean? It grows up and becomes a hipster.
Eggs will
be
like
it stays. It looks like it stays rock flying the entire time.
Alolan Sandshrew, Skarmory, Blitzel, Stunfisk, Galarian Stunfisk, Helioptile, and Dedenne. And then field research will be Voltorb, Hisuian Voltorb, Plusle and Minun, Emolga, and Helioptile. There will also be a Team Rocket takeover Wednesday, February 1st to Sunday, February 5th, where Giovanni will feature Shadow Registeel. I think this is the first time ever.
Yep.
And then the shadow Pokemon will be Shadow Alolan Vulpix, Shadow Spoink, Shadow Blitzel, Shadow Joltik. Don't know if these can be shiny. They're not saying on the website they can be. I mean, Joltik cannot be shiny.
Yeah, the only shadow Pokemon that can be shiny are the ones that the team leaders are going to have, and I don't think those have been announced quite yet.
Oh, okay, got it.
And the Team Rocket part is arguably the more exciting event. If you care about having the strongest Pokemon you have, because you'll be able to TM frustration off of your shadow Pokemon during that event. These events come around rarely, and they are not announced very far in advance, and they don't come around regularly. So getting frustration off of your shadow Pokemon while you can is helpful.
Yeah, but you see, I'm not a monster, and I purify the souls of my Pokemon.
Correct.
I'm not going to steal them from T-Rocket and then keep them in a tortured form.
They are in pain.
Y'all are making me feel so bad about this.
Yeah, well, leaving a Pokemon shadow means you are leaving them tortured and in pain, weeping quietly, hoping somebody will come and rescue them from another bad trainer who doesn't love them enough to free their hearts.
I also, you cannot mega evolve the torture soul. You have to purify its heart to then
because the mega evolution is through friendship, the power of friends.
I think I have like a Mewtwo that needs to be frustrated removed. I don't know. It's a lot of work. You gotta wait for the event. You gotta unfrustrate it. You gotta power it up. Still, I got enough raid counters. I don't need no more Shadow Mewtwo, Ma.
They are more important for PvP.
Yeah. I think like
proves that PvP players are evil.
Correct.
And like to torture Pokemon.
They all work for Team Rocket. I think there was actually an event recently where a Shadow Charizard won Go PvP. I think I saw that this morning. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, what's on the news docket here? And when we come back, we're going to talk about Greninja, which is coming to Scarlet and Violet, some X and Y stuff, and then Pocket Card Jockey. And we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. You can stand out with a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience. You can sell anything. They just released a new selling attachment for merchandise. You can sell your products, content you create, and even your time.
Greg?
Yes.
Life is full of lots of problems.
Yes, absolutely.
And problems require solutions.
100%.
So I have a problem in that I love yarn.
Yep.
I love yarn crafting. Mm-hmm. I think this should be well known for the folks who listen to our program. But yarn is very expensive, especially
absolutely.
The really
yeah.
good yarn from yep. rare animals. I have recently discovered a YouTuber. I'm not going to mention their name because now they're going to be a competitor.
Okay.
That just does demonstrations and patterns of yarn crafting, and yarn companies send her free yarn.
Ooh.
To use.
Oh,
expensive yarn.
Okay.
And
she has
a website. I went to it and I was like, this is an incredibly professional looking website that you have your patterns listed, that people can buy the patterns through the site. They can see your videos about how to make the patterns. They can learn about yarn. And I was like, all I need to do is make my own website.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I could literally copy everything that she has except
100%
the patterns.
Do it
I'll make my own patterns. Yeah. I'll like do it in the opposite direction and say this is the masculine version or something like that. And then I will get the free yarn. And you know what?
Yeah.
I can use Squarespace to do that.
You absolutely can. You can get people to rate your patterns. You could sell your patterns with the new selling tools. There are so many possibilities with a Squarespace website. Galleries of your beautiful yarn that you're getting. You could post reviews and email your loyal followers when your newest rare yarn find review is up. Easily done with Squarespace.
You can head over to squarespace.com/PKMNCST for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use our code PKMNCST to save 10% off your first purchase of website or domain. This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate.
If you think meal kits are too expensive, think again. Every Plate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping. With food prices at the grocery store going up, I can count on Every Plate to be a great value week after week. Every Plate's quality ingredients come pre-portioned to help you save money and reduce food waste. You know, like that bag of spinach you throw out every week. Get everything you need for the week delivered at the same time with sides, desserts, and ready-to-eat snacks to complement your weekly order. Try Vanilla Delight Cheesecake, Sweet Kale Salad, Garlic Bread, and Protein Bundles to take things up a notch.
All right, I have one thing before I ask Steve how your Every Plate's going. You know what's weird?
That I didn't know there was garlic bread in these dishes?
Yeah, of course there's garlic bread.
Where did they get garlic bread? I want that!
Have you not been looking at the website? I've seen this. So here's the weird thing. I've been doing these ads for like, what, a year now?
Yeah.
You would think I would get mail from every plate to me.
Do you not?
My husband just got an every plate thing. And I'm like, I looked at it. I saw every plate. I was about to open it. And I went, well, that's not my name. Steve, how is your every plate journey
going?
They know
your husband doesn't leave the house to go to the grocery store.
I know. This is true. They don't know. They know that he stays at home. But they don't know that he refuses to cook. This is like the perfect fit for him. Like, they have done their market research because it probably should have gotten to him, not me. I just felt, I felt this urge to open it. And I'm like, well, this isn't my mail. How's your every plate journey going, Steve?
It's good. The first one I made was a chicken taco meal. And they had a bunch of different toppings. I'm very plain though, so I would be curious, like, oh, I barely put anything on my tacos. The plain, pretty plain. I was a little adventurous. It was still incredibly good.
Still tacos.
Yeah, you still were like, this meal slaps.
Get started with every plate for just $1.39 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter code supereffective139. That's everyplate.com/podcast and enter code supereffective139.
And we are back from our break. So we're recording this on the 22nd. This podcast will go up on the 23rd. A Greninja is coming to Scarlet and Violet. The year of the rabbit is over. It is now year of frog. Year of Ninja Frog. What are the exact dates on that? Where's my calendar? The exact dates on that is technically it comes out on the 27th, but because it's UTC time, Central Time Zone, that'll be 6 p.m. Central Time Zone on January 26th, and that will go until 6 p.m. Central Time Zone January 29th. So this is the first round of Greninja, and then Greninja will come back on February 9th, so in 2 weeks. And then it will go until February 12th. And then immediately when Greninja ends, the Valentine's Day Tandem Mouse raids will start. So that's a little bit new. I don't think in Sword and Shield we ever went exactly from one raid event directly into another. Usually it's always Thursday to Friday, Thursday to Sunday. And then Sunday ends and then we wait till the weekend again. But as apparently Tandem Mouse raids should start when Greninja ends the second time around. I made a whole video of the 6 Greninja raid counters I would possibly recommend based off the data I did. Don't need to go through that whole thing, but just a little behind the scenes is I took Pokemon and then I would damage calculate the possible physical or special moves that Greninja would have. And I would say, okay, well, first off, this Pokemon's surviving. That's good. Secondly, can this Pokemon do something to Greninja and or work in a team setting? And then we would go through. I personally think Greninja is going to be a special attacker or a mixed attacker. There are a lot of other builds out there because that's a popular thing. It's like, give me the Pokemon recommended that think Greninja is going to be physical. Could be. But the reason I think it's going to be special is because its signature move, Water Shuriken, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong. That's a special move and it's a signature move. And the second reason I think that is because Greninja's special attack is slightly higher than its physical attack. That being said, if it ends up being a mixed attacker, I actually think that's like the easiest situation. Because when it's mixed, it can't be all adamant or all modest. If it was all adamant, that would give it a boost to its physical attacks, obviously, and then it would never need to use its special attacks. If it's modest, that would boost all its special attacks, and then its physical attacks would be a little bit weaker. So even if it was like modest but mixed, all its physical attacks get like a penalty, kind of. It could be, I don't know, timid, jolly, naive, bashful. It could be a bunch of different things. But so Charizard was modest and all of his attacks were special. And then Cinderace was adamant and all of its attacks were physical. So it's very possible that this could be mixed. All the Pokemon I built on the YouTube video and in the graphics, if you don't want to watch, that's on Instagram. They survived both when I calculated it. The only thing, I wouldn't even change the movesets that much. The only thing I would really change on those Pokemon I suggest is maybe flipping some of the EVs from a special defense to like a physical defense. But we'll know more Well, no more this weekend. But at least it's a good starting place to be like, okay, I'm not even sure where to start. Like, what Pokemon do I even pick for Greninja, a poison Greninja? And, of course, they said we're not getting an update till the end of February, so I'm expecting people to get stuck in the red menus.
And oh, plenty of boy.
That's the real final boss is how many frame rate, how many frames do you have during the battle?
That's the real challenge. You got to get through the raid experience in order to actually finish the raid.
Yep.
You guys both got your Cinderace though, right?
Yeah. Yep. I got it that.
Yeah.
The first one. And then I was going to jump in and then my brain literally went, no, I don't know. No, I can't.
To be fair, if you do want to grind them out, I like grinding them out. I made it to 999, whatever, fighting shards. So those are nice to have in case I decide to dip into competitive, right? It's 50 shards of change. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I have no use for them.
Right.
I'm never going to do competitive. That doesn't make a lick of difference.
I'm not saying you're wrong,
situations.
Greg. I completely so, agree.
People are like, oh, do you want to do the raid? And I literally just stared at my... Because it was on the menu. I'm like, Unite, Scarlet, and Violet. I'm going to Unite. I'm over here for the night. I'm going to get frustrated over here.
The other thing that's nice is you get a lot of like candy to power. Like, I think all my shinies in the game are level 100 just because I had so much candy. I was like, I pump them into something. And then you get like the vitamins. And I know you can just like grind out the tournament to get money. You just do the tournament over and over, but it's nice to get so many vitamins where it's like, oh, cool. Now in the future, like that's one less thing I have to buy because now I have like 600 of them just from doing Cinderace all weekend. So I see both sides. I see like I'm a one and done person and I see like, hey, I want to sit there and grind. It's very easy to grind when you have a bunch of people that also know what they're doing, right? Like,
correct.
Very yeah. easy. I correct. Cannot imagine grinding with like the old let's jump into random.
I did it. So that first weekend I did like spend that weekend when I was going to play. I was just jumping into random raids and being like, let's have fun.
My new toxic trait is I don't want to see Azumarill or Iron Hands or any of that stuff. I want to see like Charmeleon. Like, give me something really zany. Can we be? I want to see
get
like
a little bit
fight offs.
Yeah, I did get a little bit picky on the second round of the rabbit coming back, where I would just leave raid lobbies that had too many Pokemon in there that I knew were just going to die.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing now. I think at this point, it's like, you picked Lechonk. All right, well, let's see how this is going to go.
Yeah, I am ride or die. When I join a thing and I'm like, click, I don't care. I'm clicking accept. And we're going to see how this turns out.
I feel bad about it, but I also defaulted ultimately to support. Because when you go into the raids with random people, everybody's trying to attack and nobody else is playing support. So I switched over from Armourouge to Pelipper and just played support.
I have jumped into... This is a thing that's happened to me a couple of times that is just... I feel bad, but I jumped into... A person like posted a code and I jumped into it and I didn't realize they only had like 30 seconds left. So it took a while to register and... In the middle of me going to pick my Pokemon, the raid started and it hovered over the one that I was on, not the one I wanted to pick. So I went into a 6-star, I don't even know what it was, with a level 20 Tympole. And I'm like, I just sat there. I'm like, well, I'm just going to be in the cheer menu. And I also have a Thunder Wave. So I'm going to try that every once in a while. And it worked once.
Hey, look, not bad.
Look. We did it. I'm going to say my support was key because I think they all looked and went, I don't know what's happening over this is madness. So we're just going to go all out and trust that they'll support us. And I did it and we won. But boy, I'm like, how did I end up with this Pokemon? How did this wasn't even in my list of ones that I'm carrying in my party? And that's what I sort of pieced together, that I was in my box trying to get to the one that I wanted to use.
There is a... So, you know when you go to the raid menu and it like... I do think just Poke Portal is better than Wycombe. for the record. I think it is structurally better. I mean, I think a lot of the... I don't think it's PokePortal's part. I just think the game is really laggy. I don't think that's exclusive to PokePortal. But number one, I hate how they put the search on the far side, because I feel like that's what people are using the most, right? Is like, or maybe I'm the exception. Like, I always have to scroll over to go to search and then to type in a code. I kind of wish that was on the left side. But below the search, there's like a button, because it's five by two. So it's like four raids on top, four raids on the bottom, and then the corner it's search, and there's a button down there. And I finally hit that button below search, and it was like, we are just going to stick you in any random raid that exists.
Oh, yeah.
But then it gives you a warning. And it's like, if you disconnect, you will not be able to join any raid for a period of time. So it actually like yells at you for disconnecting, and it gives you a timeout penalty, which I don't know how long. I don't know if it's like 5 minutes or an hour. I have no clue. But I'm like, that one, why doesn't Pokemon Unite have that? Like, if you disconnect from Unite, you should have like an hour penalty of like not being able to join back in. Maybe they have added it since then. I don't think they have.
I mean, like, if you deliberately AFK, yeah, you get it. It is good at registering your fair play points, so you can't
join
ranked. They have that a little bit, but I mean, they can't lean too heavily into that because people's mobile networks aren't stable.
Yeah.
So if you AFK because, you know, your cell service dropped, like they can't, like for United get it because they can't be too harsh. They can be harsher in the raid thing because you are literally having to go to random and being like, yep, I'm going to do this. And it's like, hey, we're going to warn you up front. If your network goes
but
out.
That button is not that different than like the random Cinderace you can join. And it doesn't give you a warning there if you DC.
You can at least prepare your Pokemon beforehand for the Cinderace. You can prepare the Pokemon beforehand for a raid you know you're going to be joining, but if you're going into a random Pokemon and it just happens to be one that you do not have a good counter for, and you drop from that because you
sense.
Don't have a good counter for
yeah, because it locks you in and then you pick and you're like, oh, like I got locked into a Sviper and I was like, oh, I, okay, like, but it wasn't like terribly hard. I would like to see like a actual, like maybe like challenge mode. That would be cool. Because I think it only does like 4 stars, which is relatively easy compared to 5 or 6. I think 4 stars are like level 50 or 60. I just thought that button was I just thought the warning. I was like, oh, man, the Pokemon company yelling
kind of
at me.
It surprises me that it's there.
Yeah.
In December, when I was feeling much more wild with that game, I was very much like, let's just hit random and see what happens. Sometimes it's fun.
You know what my favorite thing in the game is? It's just walking around. What?
Tinkerton?
No. Well, I mean, Tinkerton's fine. It's just walking around and like finding a shiny. And I know it's not efficient, and I know it's not optimal, but when I make a sandwich, when I'm slapping rice and ramen noodles not cooked onto a slab of bread, and that timer starts of 30 minutes, I feel like everything in the world is gone. Nothing matters. I have wasted this Herba Mystica, and I like, if the cat is throwing up, if I left my child in the bathroom in the tub, like, you take a really long bath, I'll clean up the throw up later. Like, my 30 minutes is here and now. I cannot stop for anything. And it's just very stressful. And like, When I'm in that mood, I'm like, okay, today's the day we're gonna get this shiny. I'm gonna do this sandwich. We're gonna hunt right here. It's all play, like my battle plan is laid out. Like I'm in that. Sometimes I'm in that zone, but a lot of times I feel like I don't want that stress. I just want to like walk around.
The thing is I just find it so boring to just wander around.
Oh, I love like, it. I did that in Final Fantasy like, 2 too. I would just walk.
Yeah, no. I enjoy it. So the number of hours I have played in Pokemon Scarlet is almost reaching the number of hours I had for Pokemon Sword and Legends Arceus combined. So I am playing a lot of Pokemon Scarlet.
You like
Scarlet.
It much better. Minus all the problems.
Yeah. I'm not even sure I can say I like it better, but there... It does feel like the next big main series Pokemon game to me, and it is. And there are competitions that are going to come from it. There are updates that are going to happen to it. There is probably going to be some DLC that there are story hints that I'm excited about. And I'm actually working on completing the Pokédex for the first time in a while, which I did do in Sword, but a while after I could. I don't know. I am enjoying this game. I don't know if I would say it's better. I think I enjoyed Arceus more because I liked the design style more. And Greg, I know you hated it, but I loved it.
What?
No, Greg loved Arceus' design. I love Arceus. I hated it.
Greg, you hate the colors.
The only thing I hate is the colors. I like the colors. The second area just looks like a giant mud pit.
I mean, it is.
Sunday, we're going to go to the mud pit. We're going to get Pokemon all sloppy. Come on down to the Metro Dome.
In both Arceus and in Scarlet and Violet, you can run around and just make progress by running around and doing stuff and just sort of casually having fun in the game. And in Scarlet and Violet, that can actually progress towards bigger goals if shiny hunting isn't your ultimate goal, because there is competitive stuff. There is going to be more of a national deck, or I'm not going to say national decks.
Nope.
Larger Pokédex.
Larger Pokédex.
New host. Ban. Ban.
Getting closer, but no. I don't know. I've been working on completing the Pokédex in there, and 400 is a lot. I can't even imagine, but.
Yeah, I think 400 is that spot they figured out. It was in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and then it was in Sword and Shield, and now it's in this game. So I think before the games even came out, I always reference, like, I'm going to guess there's going to be 400 Pokemon. That's what ended up happening, is 400. So I think that's a good number. I think it's big enough where it feels like, okay, it's a lot of work, but it's small enough where it doesn't feel like it's not obtainable. Like, I remember going back to X and Y, and you have to get all 650, I don't know how many are, X and Y, 639? Somebody will correct me. It's more than 600 in X and Y. No, it has to be close to 700, because Vivion is 666. So it has to be closer to 700. That's a lot of Pokemon. That's a lot of Pokemon. And X and Y was very ambitious, that game had plenty of its own issues. I want to remind everyone, Horde Battles. If you loved the leg of Horde Battles, you would love the leg that is in Scarlet and Violet, because those were things. Speaking of X and Y, though, perfect transition. There's a lot of articles about this. I just pulled comicbook.com. There was a tweet that went out. Why is it always the Spanish Twitter? It's always Spanish Twitter that discovered.
What is up, Spain?
It's always Spanish Twitter.
What are you doing?
Spanish Twitter noticed that Game Freak renewed the trademarks to X and Y. Let's just read a little bit here. Twitter found out that Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures recently renewed the registrations for Pokemon X and Y logos in Japan. As a result of this information coming out, a number of Pokemon fans determined that Game Freak might look to remake Pokemon X and Y next, with the intent of re-releasing new versions of these installments on the Nintendo Switch. And while these remakes might come down the road, it doesn't seem like we should expect anything soon. So comicbook.com goes on and says, although the reason wasn't given by Game Freak or Nintendo, when it comes to these Pokemon X and Y logo renewals, the real purpose behind these, why they were registered once again, is because it's been nearly a decade since these installments were first revealed. Most logo and trademark registrations tend to run a course of 10 years, which means that the period of time has come up and companies need to reapply and to renew their registrations. As such, it is likely this was done with X and Y. Fans shouldn't think anything more at the time.
DLC is coming. We're going back to Kalos, baby!
I have high hopes for the DLC, but it's not that.
Yeah, but they renewed the trademark. They wouldn't do that if it wasn't coming in the DLC. Why would they renew the trademark at the 10-year mark, which is legally required to maintain the trademark so it doesn't fall out and can be used by somebody else, if they weren't going to make a DLC? I mean, you wouldn't just renew a trademark and do nothing with it.
Greg, are you in my Instagram comments right now? Have you read them?
Look, I am the distilled internet at this moment.
Look, I don't think... We're getting, I've said this time and time again, I don't think the DLC is going to take us back to Kalos. There's a couple reasons why. Whether or not you agree with me, that's fine. Number one, is Game Freak likes money. And we know that second versions and DLC does not sell as well as re-releasing games and putting them on store shelves and having a giant marketing push around them. As much as fans, myself included, hated Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. I don't know what the casual perspective of that game is, but at least from every other Pokemon creator and Twitter, and Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl are not liked. There's probably five people listening to the show that they love that game. Cool. That being said, there is no doubt that those games sold incredibly well. We know how well they sold. They sold incredibly well. You could maybe argue they sold better than Legend Arceus because there was two copies and not one. But they did technically sell better than Legends Arceus at this point in time. Maybe in 6 months when we can say on the podcast that Legends Arceus outsold Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. It hasn't yet. Technically, Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl also had a holiday push. They came out right before Christmas. Legends came after Christmas. There's a lot that goes into that. But the fact of the matter is these remade games that were not even made by Game Freak, that were faithfully badly optimized. Their words, faithful, outsold a brand new, very ambitious game. Like, that's what happened. So I do find it hard to believe that Game Freak wouldn't want to, sorry, not Game Freak, the Pokemon Company maybe makes this decision. They wouldn't want to put X and Y on store shelves in a fully repackaged, remade form. Now, I also don't see them selling us a whole new region for $30 to $40. I just don't see that, especially when there is mixed taste on Scarlet and Violet. Like, the game runs very poorly. That's been talked about a lot. There are probably people that were on the fence. They heard that the frame rate was bad, the game wasn't optimized, blah, 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 and they didn't buy it. If anything, I don't even want DLC. I want the game to work better before we add more content.
Fair.
Thirdly, when we talk about the conversation of, oh my gosh, Pokemon games are so rushed, I wish they would take another year or two. We have this open world, brand new experience Pokemon game. And I'm not defending that it hasn't been rushed. Like, we've talked about on the show multiple times. The Pokemon machine has to fire on all cylinders. Whether or not this game was ready or not, they needed to get it out because the anime is coming, because the TCG is coming, because of the holidays, because the next game is coming. Do you think that this company, who had barely got this game out the door, can then add on an open world Kalos experience in less than a year? Do we think that that's even plausible?
Yeah, because Kalos is already created, so you copy.
Control C, Control V.
Like,
done.
It is just coding. Like, kids in high school code.
Yeah, that's true. Even if I was like, yes, I just can't put the logic behind, like, yep, we're going to do this whole region. And then if you go like, well, it's not going to be open world. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. You're going from an open world game to, like, we're back to this linear experience. The other thing, I feel like it would be such a discredit to the Paldea region to have all of this interesting and unique lore about these legendaries, about the past, about the future, about the time machine. I still kind of believe that the professors are alive, and that ending was like a weird kind of throwaway. Like, maybe they didn't actually die because we didn't see them die, right? It's kind of like the classic Game of Thrones.
Didn't see the body, so yeah. Therefore.
And why would you just want to go to another region and not have any of those questions answered?
Yeah, there's clearly so many questions left for Paldea.
And I don't know
they
if, like,
address it directly in the story.
I don't know if the people asking for the remakes went to the school, but the school gives you a million unanswered questions. And I know some people are like, well, the crater is from the giant flower cannon from X and Y. The flower cannon was 3,000 years ago. We know that the crater is a million years old because the school tells us that. Like, the school gives us so much information about the crater in Paldea, and it has nothing to do with the flower cannon in X and Y. There's just not enough things adding up to be like, yep, we're going to Kalos. And I guess people could say, well, like, oh, Froakie, Fennekin, Chestnut are in the game code. Yeah, I mean, so is Rowlet and Cyndaquil and Oshawott, and so is Scorbunny, Gurky, and Cinderace. It's like, they're all there,
I mean, the only thing that sort of ties, there is weird Paldean Empire things that happen after the canon war that was supposed to happen in Kalos. So it's not like the crater was created by the Kalon, but there are other history lessons, if you look at it, that like tie to the events of the big war that was happening over in Kalos. Like, there are weird parallels there. I'm not saying we're going to go explore ancient Kalos, and definitely the canon didn't cause the crater, but they do hint, as part of fitting Paldea into the larger world, that the events of that war did affect the Empire of Paldea here. Just making it as a bigger world thing, right? Like, these things are happening as far as the overarching lore. But no, the crater wasn't caused by the canon, but the canon did have an effect, and that war did have an effect on the Pokemon world as a whole. And they did, they acknowledge it a little. Like, you have to really draw some faint lines there, but they do at least sort of hint. But I don't think that's enough to say, and now we're going to go into the past and explore that war. No. Like, that is not what's going to happen here.
I absolutely adore X and Y. I think they're fantastic games, minus the story stuff. I mean, Pitbull shows up at like the end at one point. That's kind of cool. Mr. Worldwide. But like, X and Y got it got kind of like the Johto treatment almost, where like Johto could have had a lot more, but their option was like, let's go back to Kanto. And it's like, but there's so much here in Johto that we could be like talking about. And then Kalos just didn't get anything, right? We never got a Pokemon Z. We never got a Pokemon XX or YY or XZ, right? We didn't get anything. So there's a lot of things unanswered in Kalos. And so, ideally, or hopefully, if there is a Kalos remake one day, which realistically, I guess, would be after Black and White remakes, if we're going in order, you would hope that they can expand on that. I don't think they could expand on that. They could give us the same stuff in a DLC for Paldea, but do you think they can give us the same stuff and also expand on that and then not want to sell that to us at full price? Like, it... And then what happens to Paldea? We miss out on that stuff. Like, I want to know more about the treasures. I want to know more about the past. I want to know about the future. Is this time machine actually a time machine? There's so many unanswered questions, not only with the crater, but like multiple things that pop up in the school that like, we're just going to like throw that all away and not answer it for this, just to go back to Kalos. Like, it just seems like a lose-lose. It seems like not only does Paldea lose by going to Kalos, but Kalos loses by not having its own brand new development cycle where we can like not have what happened to Pokemon Z, which is like just not fill out that generation of games, Generation 6. As much as I dislike Auras like felt full. It like felt like it filled out a lot of stuff. And I think that's why I was personally disappointed with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, because I was like, oh, this is the same. Didn't really like add anything to Legends filled that out better.
Platinum had filled out most of the questions. And then I don't think there's a lot of questions that were left unanswered about the Diamond Pearl Platinum.
Well, I mean, that goes back to like, why didn't BDSP have the Platinum stuff? Because like, that was the better stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a ton. Yep. The thing is like, it's the Star Wars problem. Like, how many questions should be answered before it diminishes the experience? Because sometimes the better answer to the question is that they never really answer it, so that you are free to fill in and speculate on it and ponder it. Whereas, you know, we've run into a problem in Star Wars where a lot of people feel like I didn't need an answer for that. That could have just been a mystery that we all got to ruminate on forever, right? We did not need an answer to that. We didn't need to know how, like, I don't need to know how they built the glass cannon. Like, I don't need this information. It's better if they don't answer it, because...
Well, they took a bunch of cryogonals and they crushed them. And then the cannon was...
A bunch of DeAnceys came along and...
Yeah, so anyways, trademark renewal is common.
Look, nothing more, Disney, nothing less. Only Disney is the one company that's like, it's not enough to renew the trademark. We're going to make a live action movie out of it just to put a nail in that coffin so nobody can at all come at us.
I anticipate the day where we get X and Y remix, whether that's in 5 years or 10 years or whenever, right? I would assume that all the Mega people will be very happy that Megos will be back. I'm sure they will add new Megas. I'm sure, like, Zygarde will hopefully get an actual decent storyline that isn't thrown away to a very poor, bad movie. Like, there's a lot about X and Y that I absolutely adore. And so when I say, like, I don't think Paldea is getting X and Y DLC, I just think there's way too many holes in that plot. Plus, like, I want the current engine of Scarlet and Violet to run so much better. Mm-hmm. And maybe it can't. Maybe this is just what Generation 9 is. Is this, like, first time doing open world kind of experience? Maybe Gen 10 it'll be better, and then maybe everything after that will be smoother and better. I like Scarlet and Violet, but we have to wait till that big update or that February update to see what the future of that game looks like. I mean, will I still play it?
Yes. The Pokemon Day update fixes everything.
Yeah, it fixes everything. I heard it even gives you your money back.
Oh, this is the update we need.
All right, last bit of news. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but so the Game Freak made a game back in the day called Pocket Card Jockey, and it was available on the 3DS, and it's still available on the 3DS, and it's about $7. So before the 3DS eShop shuts down in March, I think, if you want one of the best Game Freak games of all time, I'm not being sarcastic, I really genuinely think it's a very good game, it is $7 on the eShop, so maybe you should get it. It's called Pocket Card Jockey. Now, Game Freak wasn't involved in this remake. I believe it was pushed on to another company. But it was launched 10 years ago. Look at that. 10 years. It is now on Apple Arcade. And unfortunately, you do have to turn your phone sideways.
Oh, is this the one?
No, because it required me to sign up for Apple Arcade, and I have no interest in signing up for Apple Arcade. I've already played Pocket Card Jockey, so I don't know if I would play it again. But the screenshots look great, like brand new graphics. It's a combination of horse racing and solitaire. And now I understand that might sound boring, but holy cow, is it incredible, and it's super fun. It's like a weird version of solitaire. It's not like your grandma's solitaire.
Super fast paced.
Yeah, it's really fast paced. Also, you can like breed horses together, and you get special horses. That's pretty cool.
Is there a Ditto horse?
There is no Ditto horse. There is a horse that there's a couple horses that have Pokemon references. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But if you have Apple Arcade, it's free, because that's the whole point of Apple Arcade. If you bought anything from Apple in the last year, you probably have like 18 months of Apple Arcade free, because they're handing that out. I think this game is absolutely fantastic. I think the writing's really good. It's genuinely funny. I think the gameplay loop is really great. It sucks because like it makes sense why Game Freak kind of just goes all in on Pokemon, because this is genuinely such a fantastic game and no one played it. And it sucks because it was like dirt cheap. I think when it came out, it was like $10. It's down to like $7 or $8 now. And it's like really charming, really cute, really fun, really good gameplay. If their best non-Pokemon game isn't getting in the hands of people, it kind of makes sense why they just, I guess we go back to Pokemon.
Go back to the thing that makes us money.
Yeah, I think that's all we got. You can pre-order Scarlet and Violet ETBs on Pokemon Center. You get a free promo Lechon card. I think we talked about this. That
Yeah, we talked about
that week. There's a giant $200 Arceus statue on PokemonCenter.com. I heard Hannah ordered 5 of them already.
I wish. They're super expensive.
They are real expensive.
They're very expensive.
They're real nice looking, though.
Yeah.
They are so good. Yeah. Like, I looked at it, I'm like, maybe. And then I looked at the price and went, oh, yep. No.
$200,
no,
I think.
No.
Yeah, it's nah. $200.
$200. But it is, like, okay, if I was an Arceus fan, like, Arceus was my number one. I would absolutely probably get this because
you're saying you would do a $200 Roselia.
Oh, heck yeah. Do you know how much money I spend on Roselia stuff?
What if it was, okay, here's a deeper question.
I just bought somebody's shiny sticker. It's gorgeous.
What if it was like not specifically Roselia, but a bunch of grass type Pokemon, but Roselia was one of the grass? $200. You still pulling the trigger?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair. You know, to be fair, if there was like a $200 Cramorant statue, I'd probably pull the trigger.
Yeah, you would buy it. Look, you buy Pokeballs for $100 each. So
I
you
love
have
them
no
so
legs
much.
To stand on
it
here.
It is. I think they're fantastic. I love collecting them. I'm not a Funko Pop collector. I know people that have walls and shelves and millions of Funko Pops. I get it. I get it from a collector perspective of like, I like this thing and I want as many as possible. I just don't like, one, the way Funko Pops look, and two, I just don't like the quality. They got a good price point though. Like, they're like,
they do.
$12, so they're like, you walk in, you buy 3, and it's really not that big of a deal.
I am limiting myself to the $12 Pokeballs instead of the $100 Pokeballs.
yeah, valid.
They're still pretty good quality.
Yeah.
They're still really good quality, but they're not $100.
Okay, I'm on PokemonCenter.com.
Uh-huh.
Just a quick thing. So they have these Vaporeon, Jolteon, Comfy plush.
The Comfy Friends,
Vaporeon and Jolteon look good. They did Flareon dirty with these Comfy plushes.
Flareon isn't Jolteon looks, the only one that looks happy?
Well, Jolteon's the only one that looks happy. Flareon doesn't even seem to have a mouth.
I mean, Flareon fans know what they're getting. Disappointment.
I mean,
they signed
Vaporeon
up for
fans Flareon, don't usually so. Get disappointment.
The Vaporeon has like a... Oh, no, the Vaporeon is sad, actually.
Yeah,
the Vaporeon is sad. It's just not like, I guess.
The Vaporeon is... I kind of like the cute sad boy, though. It works for it.
Yeah, I mean, at least Vaporeon and Jolteon have, like, expressions. Flareon not only looks like they just stuck clouds around it instead of flame, but it also just has no mouth.
I think it's supposed to have, like, an O mouth. Like, oh.
Oh, I'm bad.
You
want Flareon to be fluffy. You can never actually hug a Flareon, but you want a Flareon plush to be fluffy.
Yeah. The Comfy Friends stuff, they did like Dedenne and Swablu and a bunch of other Comfy Friends, so not surprising. Comfy Friends Lechonk, I'm waiting for that. There was actually a Lechonk piggy bank in Japan. I'm curious if America will get that. I feel like that would sell. There's also a Sinistee Poltegeist teacup collection in Japan.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I really thought we were going to get that. Like,
I thought we were going to get that.
I thought Galar's over. It's dead. It's in the ground now, right? Scarlet and Violet
we'll
forever.
We'll get it for the re-release.
Yeah.
We'll get it for the DLC that brings us back to Galar.
Yeah.
Because they're all connected. Galar's up here. Kalos is here. Paldea's here.
All connected, yeah. I'm waiting for the Unova remake, but then we go to Alola because they're both in America. That's what I'm waiting for.
No. No, it's easier to go from Unova to Ore, which is the Coliseum remakes, because Unova's New York, Ore is New Mexico.
Yeah, there you go.
And then beyond New Mexico is Hawaii. That's a much farther distance. Mm. We're going to go back. We're going to get a stadium. They're going to bring back Mirror B finally.
Finally. Okay. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you for Greg for being here. If you need help with Greninja stuff, I will be streaming Greninja on Thursday and Friday and probably Saturday, probably all 3 days, honestly. The only thing I ask is bring a level 100 Pokemon, preferably one of the ones I recommended, and we'll carry you through. If you don't have a level one, if you don't have those Pokemon, we carried a level 100 Koridon through Cinderace and a Mimikyu through Cinder. We carried a lot of different 100 Pokemon, so we got competent people. We'll help you get through. I don't mind a challenge. I don't know if you bring a level 100 spy dops if we can help you out, but, you know, maybe.
I'm going to bring a level 100 Excalibur.
That might be okay. The Excalibur didn't work. You know, the level 100 Excalibur didn't work against Cinderace, but, you know, I might have a chance here. So I'll be streaming that on Twitch. So if you need help, come swing on by. If you need Pokemon suggestions, that video is up on YouTube. Otherwise, I think we will see you guys next week. Greg's not leaving anytime soon. Closer to Valentine's Day.
I will not be able to do anything the week.
Got it. Yeah, because you're vacation. And then I'll have to record a podcast early when I'm in Vegas. Because I'll be gone for like 5 days. So we might just do like a question show or something, since I would have to record, I think, on Tuesday, and then the news, but the show comes out on Monday, so there wouldn't be a lot of news in between. Maybe we'll just do a question show for that. We'll worry about that next month. Anyways, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Not rotating to Regieleki?
No, do not go to Regieleki anymore. It is a bad choice. Go down. You want to go down. Once again, it's all bottom lane. Bottom lane for life.
Not rotating to Regieleki, super effective.
Yeah.
Rotate to Regidrago, if you can find him.
If you can find him. Good luck. It's a secret code.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.